The only way that somebody can truly see your soul is if you're willing to get emotionally naked. Not physically naked, but emotionally naked. And emotional nakedness is really the foundation for true love and for lasting love. So you can never really love somebody, and they can never see who you are and fall in love with the person that you are unless you just take your walls down and you let them see all of who you are.
Welcome back to another episode on Find Joy with Joyen, the podcast that is all about helping you live and lead a life with joy. I'm your host, Joyen Chan. And every Wednesday, we are giving you access to the world's best and brightest minds in their fields on our show. Listening as these leaders impart their wisdom, inspiration, and stories to empower you to live joyfully with intention, passion, and purpose, and celebrate the struggles and overcome the challenges we may face each day with the tools and insights that we are going to share with you. Whether you are looking to improve your relationship, find your passion, learn how to embrace the present moment, deepen your spiritual connections, or learn the magic of manifestation and law of attraction to attract more abundance, this podcast is here to guide you every step of the way. As your host, I am also challenging myself to dig deeper to learn and unlearn and ride along with you. We are not here to tell you how to live your life because it is your life. But this life is all that we have right now. So my friend, why not live our life to the fullest? So I hope these conversations and stories will guide and inspire you to live your life to your highest potential and a life that you are proud of as you continue to grow and evolve in your own journey. So if you are ready to start living a more passionate, purposeful, and joyful life, join us every Wednesday on Find Joy with Joyen for inspirational stories, powerful message, fun conversations, and empowering thoughts with me and my special guests and friends. And now, without further ado, let's dive into today's episode. As someone who married young and spent years in an abusive relationship, she entered the dating pool broken, unaware, and ill-equipped to succeed. After about 10 years of helpless dating, the pain got so bad that she decided that there must be some method, some secret to finding love that she was missing, and she was determined to find. Fast forward to today, she is a love, dating, and relationship coach with over 2 decades of experience. She has a master's degree in spiritual psychology, is certified through the Coaches Training Institute, and has been featured in Huffington Post, BuzzFeed, LA Times, and Cosmopolitan. She has been with the Guardian of Her Soul for over 20 years and has taught powerful, successful women all over the world how to take what she calls the feminine lead to get emotionally naked and find the soulmate of their wildest dreams. She's here today to teach you how to navigate the modern dating world to find your true soulmate. Ladies and gentlemen, help me in welcoming the love coach and heart opening expert, Lisa Shield. Welcome to the show.
Oh, Joyen, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me so much.
I really love your story. And so tell us a bit about your story, your backstory. You know, how did you finally find your husband, your soulmate, Benjamin?
So, if I'm really, really going back in time, Joyen, and I will make it brief, but I really struggled in this part of life. For me, growing up, I didn't get a lot of male attention. I was not a man magnet. I had a very distant and difficult relationship with my father. And I married the first man that I paid attention to me. And we were together for 13 years. We were both fashion photographers. And we first lived in Los Angeles, and then we moved to Milan, Italy. We were there for 7 years together, shooting in Europe and working, and it was all very exciting. but I didn't realize he was a pathological liar and that I was stuck. I was afraid to leave because this had been such a difficult part of my life. And I was scared that if I left him, I'd be alone forever. And I got to a point where I said, Lisa, you're not growing. Your life isn't moving forward. You're stuck. And you need to figure this out. I wound up spending about 3 months in the dark room, and I was printing and working, but I was really finding myself in that dark room in Milan, Italy. And after 3 months, I came out of the dark room and I told my husband, I said, I can't do this anymore. And I went back to the US. I started working with some of the best mentors and teachers and coaches I could find at the time. And after about 8 years of doing that, I thought, I don't know if I could love myself anymore than I do right now. But I still don't have a partner. And joy in what I realized, and I think one of my biggest breakthroughs was that we can do a lot of generic personal growth work and self-help work, but it doesn't necessarily solve this problem. This is a very, very specific skill set. And so many of us think that, hey, if I just, learn to love myself and I become this more attractive person, I'm just going to meet my guy. But the truth is, there's a lot more to it than that. And so I said, with internet dating, I was one of the very early responders. Over, I think it was almost 23 years ago now, I posted my first profile online, and I went on almost 100 first dates before I met my husband.
Wow. Okay, what happened in that, I think it's about 90-something dates. What happened?
So here's the thing, and this is, I only really understand it in retrospect, right? Because when I was going through it, I couldn't necessarily make sense of it all. I didn't realize that after doing all these many years of personal growth work and getting my master's in spiritual psychology, I don't know if you're aware, if you've read the Four Agreements. Do you know the Four Agreements? Don Miguel I was in a community with Don Miguel. He was one of my teachers. And, I didn't realize how self-aware I had really become in that process of doing all that work. And when I started dating, I wasn't just going on superfluous dates. Like, I wasn't just going on one date after another. I really had figured this out. Like, some part of me had gotten crystal clear on what I was looking for. I wasn't going on dates and then coming home and talking to my girlfriends and saying, oh my God, what a loser. You can't believe this. He's a jerk. I can't, but what, who dresses him? His mother. I mean, I wasn't coming home. I wasn't looking at it like that. I really saw this as a spiritual journey.
I love that. So I'm really interested to know, like, how does spiritual psychology, incorporate with your dating coaching?
It's a great, great question. So life is a co-creation, right? With the spiritual forces of the universe. And what I realized was that I wanted a partner. I knew that there must be some wonderful men out there for me. But I also knew that the reason I was single was because I still had things to learn, that my desire for a partner didn't match with my ability to relate to men, right? So I had a lot to learn. And where spirituality came in is first that life is a journey, our experiences are teaching us so that we can grow and learn and evolve. We can go to school to learn. We can go to a therapist. We can go, you know, to a self-help workshop. But for me, what I realized was that I had to go on this journey. I had to find myself as a woman. I had to find how to talk to men, how to relate to them. I had to discover what men want from me as a woman. Nobody had ever taught me these things. My girlfriends hadn't taught me. My teachers hadn't taught me. Don Miguel didn't teach me these things. And what I realized, Joyen, is that what we want from each other are all the spiritual things. We want kindness, respect. We want compassion. We want forgiveness. We want gratitude, right? We want these deep, profound spiritual principles. And those are really the components of love.
Wow. It got me thinking because I'm single right now and I was like thinking, okay, what do I need to do? What would you say was your greatest challenge, you know, trying to date again, you know, and what are some of the common challenges that you see a lot of people, especially women, we face today, you know, when trying to enter the dating pool, especially in today's world where dating apps are just like, it's too much, I think. It's like you're so easily, you can just easily get someone to go on a date and then that's it.
Well, there's, you know, there are so many, many challenges. And I think that, you know, if I were going to be on it, like if I think about it, the biggest challenge is how naive we are about love. So just to give you an example, I went out to dinner with my nephew last night, my brother's son, and he's 33 years old and he's going through a divorce. And we were talking because he's on the dating sites. And he is so naive about love and women and what to look for and how to pick a good partner and how to pace himself, like how to actually pace himself. So he met a woman online. She's very beautiful. And he's never even met her. He hasn't gone on a physical date, but they've been communicating and, you know, messaging and communicating. They've even FaceTimed. And the way he talked about her, it was almost like she was his girlfriend. And they've never even met. And the ability for us to get so quickly pulled in and start to have feelings for someone and like a person and feel like we know this person, it's crazy. So I think, you know, one of the things, the biggest mistakes we make is immaturity. We rush in. We don't know what we're doing. We get caught up. We start to attach to people we don't even know. And all of the sudden, we're in a relationship and, you know, 3 months, 3 years of our life have gone by. And, you know, we turn around and say, what was I thinking? So, you know, that's a huge part of it. The other thing is not knowing how to use the dating apps. I mean, you know, look, anybody can put up a few pictures and a profile and start talking to people. But what I think so few people understand is how important having the right pictures are, how important having the right profile is. Now, you may think, oh, well, I've got great pictures, or the guys tell me how pretty I am all the time, or whatever. But I was a professional photographer for 15 years, you know, and I went to school. I've studied this. And I will tell you that the photos matter. They matter more than you know. And it's not just about having pictures where you look pretty. There is an art to getting the right photographs, and it is more important than you know. And the profile, women love to say, oh, nobody reads the profile. Joyen, my husband writes the profiles for our clients, and those profiles make a night and day difference. A night and day difference.
I agree. So I want to go back to something that you mentioned about being attached, too quick, too fast. How do we prevent that from happening? Because sometimes as women we are emotional creature, right? So we get emotionally attached very fast as compared to men. That's what I think.
Matt, look, it happens on both sides. What's happening for women is also happening for men. They get as quickly attached as we do, and as easily attached. I mean, people are people. So it goes both ways. And if you talk to men, if you really sit and talk to men who are dating, they will give you the same complaints that women are giving.
Yeah.
Which is really crazy when you hear it. It's like, wow, women are saying the exact same thing about men, and men are saying the same thing about women. So it happens on both sides. It's not exclusive to women or men. So that's the first thing. How do you prevent it? You know, you really go slowly. You go slowly. You do not jump into anything with anyone. So let's say you were my coaching client. We would put you on two or three sites. We would have you date multiple men. You would not get sexually involved with any of those men at all. You don't go to their houses. They don't cook you dinner. You don't go get it. You don't invite them to your house. You date them. You go out on dates and you get to know each other. Think about this. Like, think about it. Do the math. Many, many, many women and men might have sex after three dates. I don't know if you've ever heard of the three-date rule, but that is a big deal. And many, many people think that after the third date, oh, you know, she's going to sleep with me. But here's the thing. Think about this. If you've been on three dates with a man, well, how much time have you spent with him? 3, 6, 9 hours?
Yeah.
And you're going to go to bed with somebody? It's really, so we really help women slow down. We teach them all the signs to look for. We teach them about something called attachment theory. So attachment theory, there is a brilliant book that I think every human being on the planet should read, and it's called Attached.
Okay.
And I'm sure it's written in, you know, a billion languages. And essentially, Joyen, there are three attachment styles: anxious, avoidant, and secure. So there are people who get very anxious when they start to like somebody. And then they're like, well, why isn't he calling? And when is he going to call? And he needs to ask me out. And they're checking his Facebook and his Instagram, and, you know, and they're nervous. They get very, very anxious. Then there are people who rush into relationships, but the minute it starts to become connected, they pull away. So I don't know if you've ever been dating somebody. He's like, oh my God, you're amazing. I've never met a woman like you. I really want to get to know you. And then the minute you say to that guy, great, I like you too, let's do this, he starts to pull away. That's called avoidant attachment behavior. And then there are people who are secure, right? They're just very comfortable. They're at ease. They love, they're comfortable with intimacy and closeness. They're emotionally available. And that's what you're looking for, are people who are secure. And so we teach our clients how to recognize, are you anxious, avoidant, or secure? And how to go on dates with men and be able to distinguish if that man is anxious, avoidant, or secure.
Wow. Yeah, I feel like it's going to be a huge game changer for people who are looking for a partner. How about the person that is pulling away from you? Like, what is the type of attachment style?
Well, if they're pulling away, that's usually an avoidant person. That's avoidant. Like, what they do is something, Joyen, called love bombing. They love bomb you. They literally love bomb you. So, like, before, you hardly know this person. Like, I don't know if you've ever had this experience where, like, you meet a guy and he's just like, oh, my God, where have you been all my life? You are so amazing. You're so beautiful. You're so intelligent. I can't believe you're single, right? And they start coming on really strong. And then maybe the guy wants to see you every day. You may have had a date. And then, can I see you tomorrow night? You know, what are you doing the next night? Like, oh my God, this is incredible. You know, I've never felt like this. And you start to think, oh my gosh, I've met my person, right? This is so amazing. He really likes me. And then you start to have feelings for him. And it can last 3 weeks or 3 months. And then he disappears.
Right. Why would people do that, actually? Like, why would they love form you? Like, if they really like you, if they didn't like you, why would they say all these things? Like, to impress you or to just want you to have sex with him? Or, I mean, like, what is the intention?
It depends because, you know, if you look at, so let's just talk about this from a psychological perspective, right? Let's talk about psychology for a moment. So there is a book called the DSM, and the DSM is where all of the, you know, psychological disorders are described. It's like the Bible for therapists. And one of the, the psychological disorders, which is really a brain dysfunction when it goes to an extreme, is what is called avoidant personality disorder.
Okay.
It is literally written in the DSM. It is not treatable. It is such a deep-seated fear in a person. So what happens is they have such an intense fear of intimacy and closeness that they rush in, but then it's like they get burned or they get scared, and then they rush out.
Yeah, okay, got it.
And some people, Joyen, can have it to greater or lesser degrees, right? It's on a continuum. It's on a spectrum. So it goes all the way from being a diagnosable brain dysfunction to being, you know, like I had avoidant personality disorder. Like I did that. I used to suffer from that, but I worked on myself and I educated myself and I, you know, worked on my behavior. And I learned how to become comfortable with closeness and intimacy. I taught myself how to do it.
Wow.
It's not easy to do without a therapist or without help. But I realized that in all of my relationships, every relationship I ever had, I had one foot in and one foot out.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that. So let's talk about your work. I know your work is all about helping people to find their guardian of their soul and getting emotionally naked. Can you explain what that means?
Of course. So a guardian of your soul is a person who really sees you at the soul level, right? Like I know you have a very deep, spiritual inner world. You have that. And so we all know that we have our personality, but then we have our soul. And a guardian of your soul is like a guardian angel. That person can see your soul, what your soul is longing to become in this lifetime. And it sees more of you. That person sees more of you than you see even of yourself. Like it was my husband, Joyen. I was actually doing a completely different job when I met my husband. And he said to me, you should be a coach or a therapist. He said that. So he was the guardian of my soul. He saw that the work I was doing was not really aligned with my soul's journey. And he said, you should be a therapist or a coach. And it was because of that that I quit, I sold my other business and I became a love coach. So a guardian of your soul will see your soul's journey and it will foster that. He will do or she will do everything in this lifetime to make it possible for your soul to realize itself. Yeah. And the way to get there, the only way that somebody can truly see your soul is if you're willing to get emotionally naked. Not physically naked, but emotionally naked. And emotional nakedness is really the foundation for true love and for lasting love. So you can never really love somebody if they, and they can never see who you are and fall in love with the person that you are unless you just take your walls down and you let them see all of who you are.
Right. And that sounds scary to most people, I would say, right? Because what being vulnerable in a relationship is like the last thing that we want to do. Because when we first got to know each other, we want to impress them, we want to look good, right? We want to, have all these things to impress them so that they like us. But and that's what I think a lot of people are breaking out and not doing well in their relationship is because of this, right? They can't get emotionally naked. And the moment they get emotionally naked, the other person just pull away or, call it off. So what are some of the, I would say, how do we get emotionally naked? And when do we get emotionally naked? Is it in the beginning of the stage or in the middle? Like when and how is my question.
So you don't ever want to go into a first date and just tell a man everything, right? We always encourage. Now, the first thing I want to say, Joyen, is that being emotionally naked can be having fun. It can be being playful and in the moment and laughing and just forgetting yourself, right? Being emotionally naked is not about just telling somebody all your deep, dark secrets. Emotional nakedness is really just like being two puppies playing, right? Just having fun and being real and authentic and not second guessing yourself. So in the beginning, the first stage of emotional nakedness is just play. It's just play. It's being on a date and just seeing if two people can enjoy each other's company.
Okay.
And then as you get to know each other with time and with safety and trust, as you build those things, you start to share more parts of yourself and your life and all with each other. But it should be a kind of natural progression, just like taking off your clothes. Like, you don't go from having all your clothes on to suddenly being naked, right? You have to take off one part and then you take off another and another, right? Until you're naked. And so I use a metaphor in my course, about getting naked. Like unbuttoning your shirt, right? And then taking off your blouse, And I use that as a metaphor for how to get emotionally naked. And it's really, we also, there's so many pieces to doing it right, Joyen, because the biggest piece that a lot of people miss is communication. And most people, just because words are coming out of your mouth and you think that you're saying what you mean, it doesn't mean that you're communicating effectively. And one of the biggest pieces, this is a whole puzzle, right? It's not like, oh, I'm going to just get emotionally naked. Oh, I understand I need to do that. So now I'm going to start being more emotionally disclosing or revealing. You still also have to understand men, who they are, how they think, what their needs are, what their fears are. So you have to understand men. And you also have to understand how to speak to men. You can't talk to your men like you talk to your girlfriends. Like, I was just, my husband and I right now, we're working on a new course on femininity. And one of the things that Benjamin said to me, and it was really great, he said, one of the things we're talking about is respect. Now, I don't know if you know this, but it is more important to a man to feel respected by a woman than to feel loved.
Wow. Really?
It means more to a man for you to show respect for him than love. And that is a mind-blowing concept to women. Men need respect more than they need love. And if you understand that about men, boy, is that powerful. Imagine how empowering it is to be able to know that all of your communication with men has got to come from a place of respect. Most women nag, mother, blame, shame, talk down to men, lecture men. And that's the opposite of respect. No wonder they're not getting the results that they want. Joyen, I would never talk to my husband that way. Ever. In 20 years. And I mean, all he has to do is give me a look, I shut up. I'm not kidding.
But are all men the same? Because
Yes.
really, wow, okay.
Go, I want you tomorrow to talk to some of the men you know and say, what is more important to you to have from a woman, love or respect? I guarantee you 100 out of 100 men would say respect.
I love that. I'm gonna do that. Yeah. I'm just curious.
100 and 100 out of 100 women would say love.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so you're also working a new course with your husband Benjamin on femininity. So I know it is a huge part of your work. And when you talk about the feminine lead approach, how it helps, especially powerful and successful women.
So one of the problems with the way that women take the lead is that we do it in a very masculine way. We're very direct. We tell men what to do. We take the mem when we do that, when we lead in a masculine way, men perceive us as men and they treat us like men. And that's not sexy. Right? A man doesn't want to date another man. You could be the most stunningly beautiful woman on the planet. And if you are masculine in your behavior and in the way you talk to men, they're going to treat you like men. And they're not going to ask you on a second date or a third date or want to get to know you. So women can still lead. We can still let men know what we want and what we need. We have to do that. Men are not mind readers. But men have a way of doing things that's very direct. Hey, you want to go to dinner, right? Let's go to the movies. I'd love to see you Friday night. That's how a man talks. Mm-hmm. A woman would say, you know, a man might say, can I have your phone number?
Yeah.
A woman would say, I bet if you asked me for my phone number, I would give it to you.
Okay.
So what you're doing is you're letting a man know that you want him to ask you for your number, but you're getting him to ask you for it. So you're imbuing him with the power to take the lead. Men do not, this is another thing to know about men. Nobody wants to be told what to do. Nobody likes somebody telling them what to do. But men in particular do not want to be ordered around by women. When you tell a man what to do, who does that remind him of?
The boss.
Or his mother or his teacher, right? It's not sexy for a man to see you as his boss or his mother or his teacher. If you want to be a girlfriend or a wife, you have to know how to do it in a feminine way.
Okay, well, I love this topic because I am someone who is very ambitious. And so how can we as ambitious women or as entrepreneurial, successful women effectively balance our personal life, I mean, our career, you know, our business, because we have to be very masculine in that area, right? In order to get things done. And how do we balance that while also, you know, our aspirations, our dreams, our ambitions, but also pursuing a meaningful romantic relationship at the same time, being feminine at the same time?
So I'm going to tell you something, Joyen, that may really surprise you. If you are a leader in your work, in your business life or your work life, and you have men who work under you, I highly recommend that you speak to them, even them, in the way that I'm going to tell you, because I'm just going to tell you, men will bend over backwards. They will do anything for you if you treat them with respect, and especially if you're their boss, right? So it is so effective to say to a man, would you please, whatever, would you please have that report on my desk tomorrow at 9 a.m.? It would make me so happy if you could do that for me.
Okay.
I promise you that report will be on your desk at 8:30. I'm not kidding.
Wow.
If you say to a man, I need that report on my desk by 9 o'clock, something inside of him, he may get it on your desk, but there is a part of him that's going to walk away and say, how dare she talk to me that way?
Wow. I like that. Yeah, it's a powerful phrase. And I feel like we can use it anywhere, not just, you know, like you said, in the
everywhere.
In relationships.
Anywhere.
At home. Yeah. Wow.
But Joyen, the other thing is to say, it would make me so happy if. This is something many women do not know about men. Men want to make us happy.
Oh, really?
Men want to make us happy. Now, if you talk to them the wrong way, they're going to be brats and they're purposely not going to make us happy.
Yeah.
But if you talk to them with respect, they will do everything, everything. You will find men running to carry your books into the office, to grab your bag, to get you coffee, to do anything. I'm serious. You will see. And it is so simple. And it is such a small shift. But you just say, and I know this sounds crazy, but if you say to a man, you would be my hero. If you could go and get me, if you got me, brought me a cup of coffee, you would be my hero. And I guarantee you that man is going to light up and he is going to go get you that coffee and he's going to put it on your desk and he's going to want you to look at him and say, thank you.
Wow.
So much. And I'm serious. I don't care who it is.
Okay. Right. I'm just writing it down. Yeah, I'm going to start using it. I can't wait.
You would be my hero. I would love it if it would make me so happy. You know, you are such a man. You are such a great guy. It takes this much to make a man feel like a man and to make them want to do anything for you. And that's the saddest thing is that most women don't get it.
Yeah, it just reminds me of how my mom talked to my father, and the way she talks to him is like, oh my god, it's completely the opposite.
Yeah,
well, I don't want to talk about my mom here, but yeah, you know, it's like so many women in the relationship just don't get it, and they don't. Yeah, and it's so sad to see that.
But Joyen, it crushes a man's soul,
and he feels.
It is emasculating and shaming. And these men are so hungry. They're trying so hard. I mean, they give up and they get resentful and they shut down and they pull away. And then we get more and more angry with them. And all it would take, try it with your dad. Just try it with your dad. And just, you know, really, like when you're with your dad, just say, wow, dad, you're really my hero. You are such a great dad. I am so proud of you. You say that to your father, and that man will be walking 2 inches off the ground.
Yeah.
I'm serious. It is, and it is so little. Mm-hmm. It takes so, so little. And the most beautiful thing of all, I will tell you the most beautiful thing of all. I love my husband with every single cell in my being.
It's beautiful.
I adore this man. He is the most precious gift I have ever been given in this life. I feel so lucky to be able to share my life with him. And every word that comes out of my mouth, every word I say to him is loving and kind and respectful. If I hurt this man, it would break my heart. It would break my heart. And I think we all want this kind of love, but my mother was brutal with my father. The things she said to him, it was painful to be around them.
Yeah.
It was heartbreaking. I mean, my father deserved a lot of what my mother said. He had an ish, believe me. But the dynamic watching that as a child was devastating. And I vowed in this lifetime, I said to myself, I cannot go through life without love, without knowing what love really looks like, knowing how to love and how to be loved. So that's why I became the person I am and the coach. I do the work I do.
That's really beautiful. And when you share that, like, I just, when you shared your love, you know, for your husband, I felt that. I was like, oh my God, this is true love. Like, I got emotional. Oh. I got emotional. Yeah. So I felt that, like, when you talk about your husband, you talk about how much you love him, like how precious he is to you. Wow, thank you so much. I know this episode is going to help a lot of people who lost hope in love. You know, they will be willing to find love again and try again and believe in love again. I think that's most important, to believe again, right? So is there anything that you really want to talk about? Perhaps I didn't ask you or didn't let you?
You know, just one thing I really want everybody to understand is that, and I wish I could have known this so much when I was so much younger, we place so much importance on looks, on how much money somebody makes, on all these superficial things. And I understand that it's important that people, you know, are productive in life, that we can find a partner who matches us, you know, socioeconomically and all. But what I really want people to understand is that youth and beauty and money don't buy you love and they don't buy you happiness. Learning how to love and be a loving person is what gets you love in your life. Having an open and loving heart is what creates love. And so all of these things, looks are going to fade. We're going to get older. We're going to get, you know, all of these things that we put so much importance on don't matter. If youth and beauty and success were the most important things, all of the celebrities would have the perfect relationships, and they don't. So, you know, read Attached, go to my website, learn about love and how to become a truly loving person. But going on more dates and going out with more and more men, thinking you're just going to get lucky, is not the way to find the kind of love I'm talking about.
Wow, beautiful. Thank you so much. And sharing all the resources, the books, I'm going to go and buy the book and go and read it because there's so much I want to learn that I haven't learned. Thank you so much for taking the time out. And we always end with our final five. So more questions to come. We always end with our final five rapid fire questions. And every question has to be answered in one word or one sentence maximum. And normally I ask all my guests all, you know, the same questions. But today I have a different one for you because of your expertise. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
The first question for you is, what is the best relationship advice that you have ever received?
Wow. You know, to receive unconditional love, you have to be unconditionally loving.
Beautiful. Oh, I love it. Who gave you that piece of advice? God, spirit. Okay, got it. Okay, the next question is, what is the worst relationship advice that you have ever received?
Oh my God, lean back and let men chase you.
Who gave you that piece of advice? Your girlfriend?
No, it's what all the other love coaches say. They say, oh, just lean back and wait for men to chase you. That's ridiculous. I mean, you're a grown, intelligent, educated, successful woman and you're just going to sit there? That's ridiculous.
Yeah,
I hate that.
Love it. The third question is, what is something you're trying to learn or curious about right now?
AI.
Oh, wow. Really? Okay.
Yes. Okay. I know you didn't expect that answer.
Out of the blue? Yeah. But what does AI have to do with relationship? I was like, oh, yeah, pardon.
It factors into my business. It's having, you know, I mean, it's affecting everybody. It's going to be the biggest revolution in the history of mankind. I mean, it's coming, and it, you know, it's affecting everybody. It could impact, you know, it's going to impact everything. And I'm really looking at the impact of AI on the work I do.
Yeah. The next question is, if you had 5 minutes and the whole world was listening to you, what would you say? The whole world.
Oh, love is the most, this is the most important part of life, is having a lover and a playmate and a best friend to share it with. And if you give up on love, you're going to only, you know, you will never know what it's like to have the greatest joy in life. This is, you know, my life for the last 20 years has literally been heaven on earth.
Wow.
Because I have had my husband by my side. And no matter what life has thrown at us, no matter what, we've gotten through it together. And I really do feel, you know, like the luckiest woman alive. And I feel that anybody who's willing to do the work can have it.
Okay, I have one more question that is not rapid fire. Because this is a question that I always ask people who are on my show, and where they are, you know, they are like love coaches or relationship coaches or dating coaches. I always ask them, like, how do you know? I think this is a question that a lot of people ask you, I'm sure. How do you know he's the one? Like, how do you know he's the true soulmate? Or do you just know? And most of the time, that is the answer that I got. Like, you just know.
No. Absolutely not.
Mm.
Not. In fact, you know, we tell our clients that usually when you meet the guardian of your soul, it is going to be so different from anything else you've ever experienced in any relationship you've ever had. And it will be a slow progression. It will not be like, oh my God, this is it. I found my God. It actually will be like, oh, okay. You know, he's nice. I like him. I mean, I go on a second date with him, and it will take some time. Like, it usually takes some time to develop, but it's not something you know right away.
I love that.
And if you do, I would run the other way, because those are usually the love bombers and the avoidance.
That's so true. Yeah.
But Joyen, think about it rationally. Just like one of the best things about the work I do, something that is so amazing about my program. So I teach a 12-week course in how to find the guardian of your soul. Women come into this program and they say, Lisa, this is the most mind-blowing thing. Like, it is so practical. It is so intelligent. And what you have put together, the system, is brilliant. I mean, this is what my clients say, not me. My clients tell me this. But what we know is that, think about this rationally. Just, you're smart, right? I'm sure you consider yourself an incredibly intelligent woman. Do you honestly think that any two people who are meeting each other just know each other in a moment? Like, that's a ridiculous thought. That's crazy. I wouldn't even trust somebody who thought he knew me like that. I wouldn't trust that person. I would think, wow, that's presumptuous. That's ridiculous that you think you could know me when you haven't invested the time to get to know me. Nobody's going to know me that fast. And if you think you do, you're really immature and you're not my person.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, exactly. Because sometimes, you know, when I go on a date with someone and they say, you know, I feel like I know you for so long. I feel like I know, yeah.
I'm like, you know, I don't know you. I just met you. I mean, we're having a good time right now. It's a good conversation. right? But, you know, I spent years on the planet. Like, you don't know me. I don't know you. Like, I'm curious about you. This was a nice time. Let's spend some more time together. But I'm not going to rush into anything with anybody. I'm not 15 years old. I did that. It didn't work. You know, I learned. Now I'm going to do it differently. So, no, I don't. I mean, I've worked with so many women, and we have to walk them through this process because it's so unfamiliar to them. It is so new, this kind of dynamic, this kind of relationship, that no, you don't know right away, and you shouldn't know right away.
Well, thank you so much for that answer. That is incredible and fascinating. All right, I know I'm personally learning a lot from this conversation. Now, tell my people where they can get to know you more, or, you know, go to your website, or how they can work with you, what is your program, you know?
Sure. So I have a video, Joyen, that I want everybody to watch. So they would go to lisashield.com and they click the button. It's all over my website. And they would watch my 45-minute presentation. I think, I don't know if you've seen it. If you haven't, I really recommend you watch it. But it's 45 minutes. And at the end of that presentation, you can sign up for a call to talk to a member of my team about working with us so that we can help you get this solved. And many of our women find true love in about, you know, anywhere between 3 and 12 months. So,
wow.
Yep.
That is incredible. Now I'm going to watch the training. Yeah, I saw that when I was looking through your website, but I didn't have time to go and watch because I was just doing research on you. All right, guys, I know you love this episode because if not, you wouldn't watch this until the very end or listen to this until the very end. So go follow Lisa, go to her website, lisashield.com, and she has the free training for you, 45 minutes. She also has a podcast as well, and I'll put all her links in the show notes below. So make sure you go and follow her and check it out and connect with her to learn more about what I do and connect with me. Follow me on Instagram at joanne.chan or visit my website as well, joannechan.com, and we release new episodes every Wednesday. So make sure you subscribe so you never miss another episode. And I will always leave you the same way as I leave you every other episode. Show up. The world needs you and you need you. Thanks for listening, and I wish you all a joyful and amazing day ahead.
Thank you again for tuning to Find Joy with Joanne podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, you can help support this podcast in one of three ways. One, take a screenshot of this episode and share it on your IG story and tag me at findjoyjoyen_podcast so I can repost and connect with you. 2, share this podcast with a friend or a family member. And 3, leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts so we can continue to grow and reach more listeners worldwide. Make sure you also subscribe so you don't miss out on any episode coming Wednesday. Thanks for being here, and I will see you soon in the next episode.